This morning, we're going to be looking at the whole Gospel of Mark. Steve Saint's grandmother used to read one whole Gospel on a Sunday afternoon. Steve Saint kind of, I don't know what the word for it is, didn't appreciate how strict his grandparents were about no working on Sundays, no playing on Sundays. They were supposed to take time to focus on God. And one of the things that they encouraged them to do is to look at a whole gospel. We don't have enough time to read quite the whole Gospel of Mark in this service. So I'm going to try and give you a brief overview of the whole gospel all in one shot. So buckle your seatbelts. Here we go. We read the Gospel of Mark together as a young adults group over 8 weeks this summer, and I grew to love Mark for the first time in my life. And I want to share a short recap of Mark and explain why I've grown to love it. I used to think Mark was too short, but now I see it as concise and action-packed, and I don't feel too bad about trying to cover it all quickly in one sermon because of that. I'm going to read the 71 NIV section headings and a few verses from each chapter, along with some brief comments to help give you an overview of Jesus' story. Many think that Mark is the earliest gospel, although Matthew is in the running. Mark was designed for a Gentile audience, so it doesn't slow down to explain all of what's going on in Jewish religion. Mark should probably be titled "The Gospel According to Simon Peter as Told to John Mark." Different Gospels focus on different aspects of who Jesus is. In Matthew, Jesus is king. In Mark, Jesus is servant. In Luke, Jesus is Savior. And in John, Jesus is God. Matthew, Mark, and Luke are known as the Synoptic Gospels, or the Summary Gospels, since they give a brief synopsis or outline of the story of Jesus. Gospel means good news, and the four Gospels are announcements of the good news about Jesus. Gospels, as a genre of literature, are a combination of a biography and a sermon. John tells us clearly in the conclusion of his gospel what the purpose of his sermon was in John 20:31. "These are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." But the synoptic gospel writers are a little bit more subtle, and they let the stories about Jesus speak for themselves. But I believe that Mark's purpose for writing this gospel is to invite us to answer the question that Jesus asked Peter in Mark 8:29. "What about you? Who do you say that I am?" So listen as I recap Mark and consider, what about you? Who do you say Jesus is? Like all gospels, Mark is Jesus' story. It's connected to the Old Testament and starting with John the Baptist. John prepares the way, the beginning of the gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It is written in Isaiah the prophet, "I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way." And so John came, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. I didn't summarize this next story. It's just an example of how Mark quickly summarizes whole stories. The baptism and temptation of Jesus. Here's the temptation. "At once the Spirit sent him out into the desert, and he was in the desert 40 days, being tempted by Satan. He was with the wild animals, and the angels attended him." That's how Mark tells the whole story. See why I'm not feeling too bad about summarizing? Simon Peter is introduced early on in the story, but we don't really get too many details about him. It's like he wants us to focus on Jesus instead. The calling of the first disciples. As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will make you fishers of men." Now watch for this repeated theme of Jesus driving out demons and not letting them know who he is. Jesus drives out an evil spirit. Just then, a man in their synagogue who was possessed by an evil spirit cried out, "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." "Be quiet," said Jesus sternly. "Come out of him." The evil spirit shook the man violently and came out of him with a shriek. Jesus healing lots of people is another theme to watch. Jesus heals many. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever. So he went to her, took her hand, and helped her up. The fever left her, and she began to wait on them. And Jesus healed many who had various diseases and drove out many demons. But he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. As Jesus healed and drove out demons, he wanted to preach even more than healing or driving out demons. And he started retreating from the crowds. Jesus wanted to personally visit each town in Israel, and his popularity started getting in the way. Jesus prays in a solitary place. Early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so I can preach there also. That's why I've come." So he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. Jesus started telling people not to talk about him too. Some people think Jesus was using reverse psychology to get people talking about him. But Jesus looks like he really did personally want to speak with more intimate audiences, and the big crowds were getting in the way. A man with leprosy. Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning. "See that you don't tell this to anyone, but go. Show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for cleansing as a testimony to them." Instead, he went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news. As a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside in lonely places. Yet the people still came to him from everywhere. So what about you? Who do you say that Jesus is? The big crowd starting to get in the way of Jesus' ability not only to preach, but even to heal. They had to let a paralyzed man in through the roof. Jesus heals a paralytic. So many people had gathered that there was no room left, not even outside the door, and he preached the word to them. Jesus added humble and even despised disciples in the midst of all this busyness. The calling of Levi. Once again, Jesus went outside beside the lake, and a large crowd came to him, and he began to teach them. I listened to Mark twice yesterday and the day before, audio Bible. I am butchering all these stories. There's so much more in each of these stories. I feel bad skimming over them so much, but this is the time where Jesus goes out of his way to say that there are real sinners with real sins, and he came to heal them like a doctor comes to heal sick people. Well people don't need doctors. We who are sinners need a savior. Jesus defended his disciples for following him to the religious leaders who started to get jealous. Jesus was questioned about fasting. So what about you? Who do you say that Jesus is? Jesus started making claims to be God that Mark opens with. The religious leaders very quickly chose sides against him. And it's interesting to note that when Jesus gets mad in this next story, people get healed, not injured. So the Son of Man is the Lord, even of the Sabbath. Then Jesus asked them, "Which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill?" But they remained silent. He looked around at them in anger and deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts. He said to them, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out, and his hand was completely restored. Then the Pharisees went out and began to plot with the Herodians how they might kill Jesus. And they did that on the Sabbath. It doesn't sound like a lack of work having a business meeting and how to bump someone off. The story so far could almost be summarized by saying that Jesus preaches, heals, and drives out demons as he runs away from crowds yelling over his shoulder, "Don't tell anyone about me!" The crowds followed Jesus. Jesus withdrew with his disciples to the lake, and a large crowd from Galilee followed. Because of the crowd, he told his disciples to have a small boat ready for him to keep the people from crowding him, for he had healed many, so that those with diseases were pushing forward to touch him. And whenever the evil spirits saw him, they fell down before him and cried out, "You are the Son of God!" But he gave them strict orders not to tell who he was. Jesus sends his disciples out to do the same ministry he's done, the appointing of the 12 apostles. He appointed 12, designating them apostles. that they might be with him, and that he might send them out to preach. And he gave them authority to drive out demons. Jesus' own family didn't believe in him, and the religious leaders accused him of being demonic. It's helpful to note in this next story that generic blasphemy is not the unforgivable sin, but a specific type of blasphemy that the religious leaders are in danger of committing by rejecting Jesus. Jesus and Beelzebub. Then Jesus entered a house, and again a crowd gathered, so that he and his disciples were not even able to eat. When his family heard about this, they went to take charges of him, for they said, "He's out of his mind." And the teachers of the law who came from Jerusalem said, "He's possessed by Beelzebub. By the prince of demons, he's driving out demons. I tell you the truth. All the blasphemies of men will be forgiven them, but whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will never be forgiven. He is guilty of an eternal sin." He said this because they were saying, "He has an evil spirit." Jesus' family doesn't get who he is yet, but interestingly enough, Jesus doesn't give them the same stern warning that they're in danger of committing an unforgivable sin for their unbelief. But there's some similarities between his family and these leaders here. Then Jesus' mother and brothers arrived, and standing outside, they sent someone to call him. They looked at those seated in a circle around him. Oh, he looked at those seated in a circle around him and said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does God's will is my mother and sister and brother." So what about you? Who do you say that Jesus is? Jesus tells parables to the crowd about the kingdom of God, and he also used different kinds of soil in this first parable to show that some people get who Jesus is and others don't. But remaining in faith, maintaining faith in Jesus, is the ultimate goal. The parable of the sower. Again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that had gathered around him was so large that he had to get into a boat, and he sat in it on the lake while all the people along the shore were at the water's edge. Three more parables here. A lamp on the stand. The point of this is that information about Jesus is designed to come out in the end. The parable of the growing seed. Jesus' preaching will bear fruit, even if it doesn't look like it now. The parable of the mustard seed. Don't worry, Jesus' kingdom will grow. Then Jesus' disciples started to get who Jesus is, and it scares them to death. Can you hear their question in this next story? Who is this? Jesus calms the storm. He got up, rebuked the wind and the waves. "Be quiet. Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." So what about you? Who do you say that Jesus is? Others who started to get who Jesus is get scared too. Notice that things go better when people obey Jesus about where and when to preach about him. Unlikely people are starting to get who Jesus is. The healing of a demon-possessed man. The man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. Jesus did not let him, but said, "Go home to your family and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." So the man went away and began to tell in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him. And all the people were amazed. Jesus is healing women and others who many may not think worth caring for, and he's still doing it in the midst of crowds and telling them not to talk about him. Jesus healed this girl, rose her from the dead, and then he gave strict orders not to let anyone know about this. It's kind of a hard thing to keep a secret. So what about you? Who do you say that Jesus is? Jesus' own town didn't trust him, and even when Jesus, quote unquote, couldn't do any miracles, he still healed people here. A prophet without honor. He could not do any miracles there except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them. That's great that that's counted as nothing. The disciples were helping Jesus in his ministry. Jesus sends out the 12. Then Jesus went around teaching from village to village, calling the 12 to him. He sent them out two by two and gave them authority over evil spirits. They drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. Political leaders are beginning to hear about who Jesus is and ask, "Who is this?" John the Baptist beheaded. When Herod heard about this, he said, "John, the man I beheaded, has been raised from the dead." Jesus' busy schedule also led to tired disciples, but Jesus kept teaching and caring physically for the people. Jesus feeds the 5,000. The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. And all 5,000 ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces of bread and fish. Jesus wants to be alone, and the disciples still don't get who he is. And Jesus confuses them even more by walking on water. Meanwhile, the crowds keep coming to Jesus and he heals them even though he's trying to escape. Jesus walks on water. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to Bethsaida while he dismissed the crowd. And then he walked with them on the water. By the way, I've cut out the word, but John uses this word, not John, John Mark. Mark uses this word immediately all the time. Everything happens immediately in Mark. It's just boom, 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 moving. So what about you? Who do you say that Jesus is? Jesus was not impressed with the religious leaders' outward religion since they were inwardly evil, clean and unclean. The Pharisees saw some of Jesus' disciples eating food with hands that were unclean, that is, unwashed. All these evils come from inside a man and make him unclean. Now, foreigners are starting to get who Jesus is, and surprisingly, he heals them too. The faith of a Syrophoenician woman. Jesus left that place and went to the vicinity of Tyre. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know it, but he could not keep his presence a secret. Jesus healed in different ways and still didn't want anyone to know about it. The healing of a deaf and mute man. He took him aside, away from the crowd. Jesus commanded him not to tell anyone after he'd been healed. But the more he did so, the more they kept talking about it. So what about you? Who do you say that Jesus is? Both Jesus' disciples and the religious leaders are still in danger of not getting who Jesus is. Jesus feeds the 4,000. The Pharisees came and began to question Jesus to test him. They asked him for a sign from heaven. He sighed deeply and says, "Why does this generation ask for a miraculous sign? I tell you the truth, no sign will be given it." If you miss what he's doing, he's not going to do it again. Jesus tells his disciples that they're in danger of missing the point, just like the religious leaders, the yeast of the Pharisees and Herod. "Be careful," Jesus warned his disciples. "Watch out for the yeast of the Pharisees and that of Herod." The disciples discussed this with each other and said, "It's because we have no bread." He said to them, "Do you still not understand?" Jesus is still healing in different ways and hiding from the crowds. The healing of a blind man at Bethsaida. He took the blind man by the hand and led him outside the village. And when he healed him, he said, "Don't go back into the village." Even once Jesus' disciples get who he is, Jesus warns them not to tell anyone yet. Peter's confession of Christ. This is the heart of the book. This is the point of the story. This is the center of the chiasm. Jesus and his disciples went on to the villages around Caesarea Philippi. On the way, he asked them, "Who do people say that I am?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say that I am?" Peter answered, "You are the Christ." Jesus warned them not to tell anyone about him. Jesus is clear that Peter still has some really important things to learn about Jesus and his mission. And maybe that's why Jesus won't let his disciples talk yet. Jesus predicts his death. Then he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. He spoke plainly about this, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But when Jesus turned and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter. "Get behind me, Satan," he said. "You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men." So what about you? Who do you say that Jesus is? The disciples got a glimpse of Jesus' glory, but God had to tell them to focus on Jesus and not Elijah or Moses. They also should have learned the lesson from John the Baptist that Jesus was going to be rejected and killed. The Transfiguration. Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it's good for us to be here. Let us put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." Then a cloud appeared and enveloped them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my son whom I love. Listen to him." And they were coming down from the mountain, and Jesus gave them orders not to tell anyone what they had seen until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. Even while the disciples were healing, they were in danger of missing who Jesus was, the healing of a boy with an evil spirit. "I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not." Jesus didn't want anyone to know where they were because he was teaching his disciples, and he said to them, "The Son of Man is going to be betrayed into the hands of men. They will kill him, and after 3 days he will rise." Jesus clarifies for his disciples that they're still seeing things upside down. Jesus is the servant of all. Who's the greatest? If anyone wants to be first, he must be the very last and the servant of all. "Whoever welcomes one of these little children in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me does not welcome me only, but the one who sent me." The disciples were concerned that someone else was driving out demons, but Jesus said not to get jealous. Whoever is not against us is for us. Instead of worrying about others, Jesus warned that we should focus on our own conduct, causing to sin. "If anyone causes one of the little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to be thrown into the sea with a large millstone tied around his neck." So what about you? Who do you say that Jesus is? The next several chapters are a Q&A test of Jesus by the religious leaders as Jesus walks towards the cross. They start with questions on divorce, and then the disciples show that they still don't get it. Jesus wants to give the kingdom to those who haven't earned it. The little children and Jesus. People were bringing little children to Jesus to have him touch them, but the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." The disciples thought of rich people as good people, and the man in this story sounds like a nice guy to have as a neighbor, but he loved his money. Jesus says that even nice people need God's salvation or they can't be saved. The rich young man. Jesus looked around at his disciples and said, "How hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were even more amazed and said to each other, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible." Jesus tells his disciples again that his purpose is to die and rise again. Jesus again predicts his death. The disciples still don't get it. And Jesus says he's going to die, and James and John ask to be at his right and his left. Ironically, they were the first and the last ones to die for Jesus. Jesus again says that he's the servant king. The request of James and John. They replied, "Let one of us sit at your right and the other at your left in your glory." "You don't know what you're asking," Jesus said. Jesus said to them, "You will drink the cup I drink and be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with. But to sit at my right or my left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many." So what about you? Who do you say that Jesus is? Bartimaeus is the first person Jesus has healed in the whole Gospel of Mark who has a name. And maybe he became a member of Mark's church. Even the blind people are seeing who Jesus is. Blind Bartimaeus receives his sight. Then Jesus came to Jerusalem as king, but he left town again, and the rest of the book is an argument that the current religious order deserves to be judged. The triumphal entry. Jesus entered Jerusalem and went to the temple. He looked around at everything, but since it was late, he went to Bethany. Jesus curses a fig tree with fruitlessness because it didn't have any fruit. Then Jesus goes into the temple and finds it fruitless. The religious leaders are blocking foreigners from coming to God. Jesus clears the temple. He said, "Is it not written, 'My house will be called a house of prayer for all nations,' but you've made it a den of robbers?" Then the chief priests and the teachers of the law heard this. They began to look for a way to kill him, for they feared him, because the whole crowd was amazed at his teaching. Jesus clarifies that the fig tree he cursed is a lesson about God's judgment. Moving mountains by faith is also directly related to God's judgment of those who reject Jesus. In the morning, as they went out, they saw a fig tree withered from the roots. Peter remembered and said to Jesus, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree you cursed has withered." "Have faith in God," Jesus answered. "I tell you the truth, if anyone says to this mountain, 'Go, throw yourself into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it will be done for him." The leaders try to trick Jesus, but he can spot trick questions and turn them around. The authority of Jesus questioned. So they answered Jesus, "We don't know where John the Baptist got his authority." Jesus said, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I'm doing these things." So what about you? Who do you say that Jesus is? Jesus told the story of fruitless tenants. They even killed the son because they know who he is. Jesus accused the leaders of knowing who he is and wanting to kill him anyway. That's why God would judge them. The parable of the tenants. He sent still another. That one they killed, and he sent many others, and some of them they beat, and others they killed. He had one left to send, a son whom he loved, but he sent him last of all, saying, "They will respect my son." But the tenants said to one another, "This is the heir. Come, let's kill him, and the inheritance will be ours." So they took him and killed him and threw him out of the vineyard. What then will the owner of the vineyard do? He will come and kill those tenants and give the vineyard to others. Then they looked for a way to arrest him because they knew he had spoken the parable against him. Jesus keeps getting out of tough questions. Paying taxes to Caesar, give to Caesar what is Caesar's and to God what is God's. Jesus says that the religious leader's real problem is that they don't know the Bible or God. Marriage at the resurrection. At the resurrection, whose wife will she be since the seven were married to her? Jesus replied, "Are you not in error because you do not know the scripture or the power of God? When the dead rise, they will neither marry nor be given in marriage. They will be like the angels in heaven. Now about the dead rising, have you not read in the book of Moses, in the account of the bush, how God said to him, 'I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob.' He's not the God of the dead, but the living. You are badly mistaken." Some of the leaders are finally impressed and ask Jesus some questions for answers, not to trap him. The greatest commandment. One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he said, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" "Love the Lord your God." And from this time on, no one dared ask him any more question. Jesus concludes with some teaching about the Messiah being God from the Old Testament, and the leaders can't respond to Jesus. Jesus taught that when the Messiah comes, he will be God. Whose son is the Christ? While Jesus was teaching in the temple courts, he asked, "How is it that the teachers of the law say that the Christ is the son of David? David himself, speaking by the Holy Spirit, declared, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand and I will put your enemies under your feet.' David himself calls him Lord. Then how then can he be his son?" Jesus then said, "Watch out for the teachers of the law. They like to walk around in flowing robes and be greeted in the marketplaces and have the most important seats in the synagogues and places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses and for a show they make lengthy prayers. Such men will be punished most severely." Jesus has been making an argument that the religious leaders are corrupt and deserve to be judged. The final piece of evidence is that they're willing to accept the last few cents from a poor widow, the widow's offering. Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins. worth only a fraction of a penny. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, I tell you the truth, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all others. They gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything she had to live on. So what about you? Who do you say that Jesus is? Jesus now predicts the end of the old religious order and his coming as a replacement and a fulfillment. The signs of the end of the age. As he was leaving the temples, one of his disciples said to him, Look, teacher, what massive stones, what magnificent buildings. Do you see these great buildings? Jesus replied, Not one stone here will be left on top of another. Every one will be thrown down. I tell you the truth, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Jesus doesn't tell his disciples when the end will come. He just tells them to watch. He said the day and the hour are unknown. So what about you? Who do you say that Jesus is? Jesus made sure that he was able to eat the Passover with his disciples and explain about his sacrificial death by not telling Jesus where he was going to eat it. Remember when Jesus was anointed at Bethany, Judas got jealous because of the money he could have stolen. So here's the Last Supper. Jesus sent two of his disciples telling them, Go into the city and a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him. Say to the owner of the house, the teacher asks, Where's my guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples? See how he found a secret way to get them there without Judas knowing where it was going to be? While they were eating, Jesus took bread, gave thanks and broke it, and gave it to his disciples saying, Take it. This is my body. Then he took the cup, gave thanks and offered it to them, and they all drank from it. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Jesus predicts that his disciples will abandon him, but he also predicts his resurrection and tells his disciples where to meet him. Jesus predicted Peter's denial. Then in Gethsemane, it's Jesus' turn to drink the cup on behalf of disciples who can't even stand with him against sleep. So then Jesus is arrested. And since this story is only found here, Mark is probably telling us his small part in the story. Then everyone deserted him and fled, and a young man wearing nothing but a linen garment was following Jesus. They seized him, and he fled naked, leaving his garment behind. Thank you, John Mark. At Jesus' trial, he claimed to be the Christ, and his claim wasn't even considered. Giving weight to the idea that the leaders are killing Jesus because they know who he is, not because they're confused. Again, the high priest asked him, Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed One? I am, Jesus said, and you'll see the Son of Man at the right hand of the Mighty One and coming on the clouds of heaven. The high priest tore his clothes. Why do we need any more witnesses? He asked. You've heard the blasphemy. What do you think? And they all condemned him as worthy of death. Peter denied who Jesus is, just as Judas and the leaders had. But Peter recognized it and repented. Peter disowns Jesus. Then Peter remembered the words Jesus had spoken to him, Before the rooster crows twice, you will disown me three times. And he broke down and wept. So what about you? Who do you say that Jesus is? Pilate convicted Jesus not of being a pretender, but of being the king of the Jews. Jesus was before Pilate. What shall I do then with the one you call the king of the Jews? Pilate asked them, crucify him, they shouted. The soldiers sarcastically bow to Jesus as he rightfully deserves. The soldiers mock Jesus and they began to call out, Hail, king of the Jews. Again and again they struck him on the head with their staff and spit on him. Falling on their knees, they paid homage to him. It sounds like Mark got to know the man who carried Jesus' cross. The leaders said that if Jesus got off the cross, they would believe in him. But Jesus took the long way down, and they didn't believe after the resurrection. The crucifixion. A certain man from Cyrene, Simon, the father of Alexander and Rufus, was passing by on his way home from the country, and they forced him to carry the cross. The written notice of the charge against him read, The King of the Jews. Let this Christ, the King of Israel, come down now from the cross, that we may see and believe. Jesus feels abandoned by God as he feared in the garden. The drink they gave Jesus on the cross was probably a cleaning supply. This wasn't nice. The old religious order literally starts to fall apart, and the soldiers get who Jesus is too late. And the women are the only ones who don't abandon Jesus, the death of Jesus. Jesus cried out in a loud voice, my God, why have you forsaken me? One man ran, filled a sponge with wine vinegar, put it on a stick, and offered to Jesus to drink. With a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last. The curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. Then the centurion who stood there in front of Jesus heard his cry and saw how he died and said, surely this man was the Son of God. Some women were watching from a distance. An unlikely group of companions take care of Jesus' burial arrangements. The judge, the executioner, a politician, and some of the women who were Jesus' friends. The burial of Jesus. Pilate was surprised to hear that he was already dead. Summoning the centurion, he asked him if Jesus had already died. When he learned from the centurion that it was so, he gave the body to Joseph. Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of Joseph, were there and saw where he was laid. So what about you? Who do you say that Jesus is? When the women were caring for Jesus' body, the women who were caring for Jesus' body got the first news of the resurrection from an angel. The resurrection. When the Sabbath was over, the women brought spices to anoint Jesus' body. But when they looked up, they saw the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. Don't be afraid, he said. You're looking for Jesus the Nazarene who was crucified. He has risen. He's not here. See the place where they laid him. Go and tell his disciples and Peter. He's going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you. Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. The final section of Mark is probably added on, since the earliest copies of Mark don't have it. If you leave the story in verse 8, you're missing any human witness of the resurrection, and you're missing the ascension of Jesus, which are both in the new ending. Maybe the original ending of Mark got lost. Maybe this ending of Mark came from a different apostle. We don't know. But I take the fact that all modern Bible translations tell you clearly that this end of Mark doesn't belong in the Bible. This is a strong evidence against any conspiracy theory saying that the Bible has been altered by Christians. We're willing to cut off the end of a book of the Bible if there's enough evidence that it doesn't belong. That's encouraging to me. I don't know if that's encouraging to you. We don't want to believe things that aren't true. What do you think of Mark's description of Jesus? This Jesus, who is our servant king, God's own son, the Christ, the Messiah, God himself, who really lived, really died, really rose from the dead, really fulfilled the whole law, really judged the old religious order. And though not from Mark's original ending, this Jesus, who really ascended back to heaven, where he really reigns from the right hand of God the Father, and is really changing the world. So, what about you? Who do you say that Jesus is?